Hello and welcome to Target Zero Hunger, a podcast that explores the food challenges and solutions of our time. I'm your host, Charlotta Lomas. The discourse around migration is often framed negatively, while the positive aspects of migration are overlooked. But a new report by the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, shows that migration can in fact be highly beneficial to rural development and the agriculture sector. To find out more, I'm joined by Andrea Cattagno, lead author of the State of Food and Agriculture Report and a senior economist at FAO. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
So migration is a major focus of this new report, and it shows that the number of migrants has increased worldwide. Why is that? What trends are we seeing for rural migration?
Well, a big part of it is that there are more of us. So the share of the global population that has migrated has not changed dramatically. We're talking about an increase of less than 0.5%. But population has increased substantially by more than 2 billion people since 1990. So we could expect from this an increase in migration of approximately 60 million people since 1990. It is about 2/3 of what we have seen in terms of people leaving their countries since that time.
You mentioned that part of this increase is due to there being just more people in the world, and historically people tend to move. That's part of who we are and what we do as humans. What about the other drivers of this increase?
Well, yes, there is that other 1/3 of this increase, right? I mean, we've seen on one hand an increase in the number of conflicts. And in fact, since 1990, there have been an additional 7 million refugees associated with continuing conflicts, some like the Democratic Republic of Congo, others that are more recent, like Syria, for example. So that has been a substantial contribution in terms of international migration. Another factor is climate extremes. We've seen an increase in the number of droughts, in the number of floods, but also slow onset climate change, things that very slowly, but at the end, make it the only viable option to migrate. And I think the third factor is just that there's more information available to potential migrants on the opportunities compared to 25 years ago. I mean, we have cell phones, there's the internet. So people move to improve their livelihoods, and they now have better information to do that. And finally, there's a fourth element, which I wouldn't call a driver, right? But there are many people who want to migrate, but do not have the resources. So we have to think about the fact that as their incomes rise, through development, for example, it may be that they will then be able to move. So if the drivers are others, but if they overcome the constraints, the financial constraints associated with moving, they will then be able to move.
So much of the media attention is focused on refugees fleeing conflict. How big is this issue in relative terms? And what role does FAO have in these situations?
Well, there are approximately 25 million refugees in the world today, which accounts for 10% of international migrants. So it's a significant component. It's not a large part, it's not a large share, but one has to consider the conditions under which these people are forced to leave their countries. Nonetheless, I mean, it's important to see that in the broader context of migration, this is only part of the story. Now, FAO sees it as an important part of the story. 80% of refugees, for example, in sub-Saharan Africa are hosted in rural areas. So we try to do as much as possible to put these people back on their feet. For example, we work in Uganda, we work in Kenya, and the typical support we provide is in partnership with governments and other stakeholders, for example, by providing agricultural inputs, seeds, but also technical support and training.
So is it mostly internal or international migration?
Well, internal migration is much bigger. This is something that I think is not new, but we have seen in this report that the relationship is about 7-1. So for every international migrant, you have 7 people who are moving internally between rural and urban areas and between rural and rural areas in all possible combinations. Now, this makes for about 1.3 billion people in developing countries who have moved internally, and it tells a story about how important internal migration is to how economies are transforming and how societies are changing. About 80% of the moves involve a rural area, which means rural to urban migration, but also rural areas as destinations.
And so what impact does migration have on agriculture and rural areas?
Well, I would say there are three main channels, right? The first is the impact on the sending household. A migrant leaves and there's one person less in the household to do the work. So just to give you an example, in Tajikistan, there's been massive migration towards the Russian Federation in the last 25 years. And the share of women in the agricultural labor force has gone up from 54% to 75%. So as men migrate, women take on the agricultural tasks. So that's a big change, clearly. The second channel is our remittances sent by migrants. So, for example, to stick with the case of Tajikistan, 20 to 40% of the gross domestic product of Tajikistan is linked to remittances. Now, this has a big impact on food security, on nutrition, on child nutrition specifically, and on education.
Because people are sending money back home?
Because people are sending money back home, exactly. And then the third channel is that migrants also bring back ideas and skills and transmit them to their areas of origin.
So the impacts you describe are all about impacts on the country of origin and those who stay behind. What about the impacts in the destination areas?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to think of people as a resource, right? So farmers and pastoralists come with a skill set of their own, right, that comes from their previous experience and can be useful in host communities. I mean, high-income countries often need migrants in agriculture. And we see it, for example, fruits and vegetables in California. There are many Mexican and Central American migrants. And in fact, I think it's interesting that farmers in developed countries are expressing concern about limits on immigration because they are concerned about finding agricultural labor.
Migration is a hot topic at the moment, but much of that debate views migration negatively. What opportunities and positive aspects of migration are there?
Well, I think it's important to see migration in the broader context and that it is really central to economic, social and human development. Historically, that's been the case. The negativity stems from focusing only on the challenges, which is understandable, but one has to look at the broader pictures. Now, I would like to give you one more example of how it's important to look beyond the challenges. And that example is Uganda. Uganda has been accepting refugees for a long time. It now has 1.4 million refugees within its borders, a lot of them from South Sudan, approximately 1 million. And they have an extraordinary policy of openness to refugees. So despite the huge challenge that an inflow of refugees of that magnitude has, they try to provide a parcel of land to every refugee. And they give the same rights in terms of access to education, ability to set up a business. And in so doing, they make these refugees a productive part of society. And I think that is an amazing example of a country that is looking beyond the challenges to make this into an opportunity.
And so what are the main takeaways of the State of Food and Agriculture report?
Well, I think the first is that migration, despite the challenges it presents, is really at the core of economic, social, and human development. And it helps also reduce inequalities, both within countries and across countries. So I think that's the first strong message that comes out. The second is that migrants to rural areas, often farmers or pastoralists, are really a resource that can be leveraged for development in host communities. And I think we tend to forget that at times. The third message is that policy priorities depend really on country contexts. So if you're a country in protracted crisis, your policy priorities relating to migration will be different from a country where youth employment is a big issue, or from a country, for example, where your demographic transition is already happening, you're growing economically. That's a very different situation, as it is from, for example, developed countries in the need of agricultural labor for rural areas that are depopulated.
Andrea, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
That was Andrea Cattaneo, Senior Economist for Food Security and Climate Change at FAO.